بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday there was a question related to a hadith that fulfilling the need of a Muslim brother is more virtuous than i'tikaf. We hear of this hadith quite often in the Fazail al-Amal. So the person is asking that won't it be more important for us to go and see to the needs of people than sitting in the masjid for i'tikaf? By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the answer was given that there is a time and a place for everything. A man has an itinerary, a program for himself for the day. He'll go to his business, he'll attend to his chores, then he comes home, he has a time for his meals, he has some time for his children and some time for his wife, and in the time that he dedicates to his wife and children, he cheers up with them, he jokes and laughs with them, he will make love with his wife. So the whole day's program is worked out. He will not say now that because of people suffering in the world, he will not cheer up with his children, he will not have any pleasant, enjoyable time with his wife, he will see to their needs and he will do this as well. So there is a time for everything. Then I went on to say that the normal business person or the professional person, he's got more than what he needs. He's got much more than what he needs. Then if you were to apply this principle of yours, then all these people would have had to abandon their businesses and their practices because they've got more than what they need. Now all that rest of the time they must go and see to the needs of people rather than being in their businesses and their occupations and in their professions. Then at the third point that I had explained was Rasulullah was also a human being and he was living on this planet. When a person lives in this planet, then there are needs and there are hawajj for people all the time. You can't say that people didn't have any needs then. They had needs then like they have needs now. In spite of all that needs and all that hajat of people, most of the years Rasulullah had spent his Ramadan, last 10 nights of Ramadan, in i'tikaf. So just having an understanding of one portion of the hadith and then not looking at it in context, you can create problems for yourself and create problems for others. So there is a time and a place for everything. Allah Pak says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. When you have completed and accomplished all your other mundane duties, then فَانْصَبْ, then tire yourself. Nasab actually refers to tiring yourself. So tire yourself, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, and turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You turn your focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though in the turning towards Allah ta'ala you have to tire yourself, then too you shouldn't hesitate doing so. So there is basically two duties of a Nabi, and then after that the deputy of a Nabi. One is seeing to the needs and seeing to the work of people, the khidmat and the service that you require to offer to people. Sometimes it is ta'aleem, sometimes it is tabligh, sometimes it is tazkiyah, sometimes it is the basic requirements and needs, sometimes it is to go and offer condolence, sometimes to attend to a janazah, sometimes it is to show some type of generosity to someone, sometimes it is to bring about some type of reconciliation between people, sometimes it is to give people good advice. So when you have accomplished all this, this is one duty, it's one of your portfolios, you've accomplished this, then وَإِلَىٰ فَنْصَبْ وَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَنْصَبْ, then tie yourself, exert yourself in what? In seeking and in besieging the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you tie yourself. In other words, that time has to be distributed. One is for the service, khidmat, tabligh, ta'aleem, tazkiyah, everything that relates to others. One portion of your time has to be given. But because of this, you cannot say that you are not going to engage yourself in your personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to do this. After you have accomplished this, then it's your personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will have to nourish that, you will have to take care of that, you will have to nurture that. One cannot say that because I am in the service of people, therefore I am absolved of this. Like someone is feeding people, so he will not say that because I'm feeding people, therefore I don't eat myself. If you are feeding people, then you need to eat as well. Otherwise, you will not be able to feed also. If you have gone to that level of starvation, then forget feeding others, you forget feeding yourself, you will not be able to feed anybody. So in order for you to be able to feed others, you will need to feed yourself. So you need to take out a time for yourself as well. See? People generally, they complicate these issues. No, I'm so busy in this now, so I don't have a time for that. Moreover, they don't understand the sunnah and the way of Rasulullah Paksun, that he had a time for people and a time for himself. Time for people and time for himself, both times. And the time that they had dedicated for themselves, they were very committed to that. Unless now it was an excruciating circumstance, you can't manage it. Like in the occasion of Khandaq, then Rasulullah had missed two or three namazes of his. Right? That was an excruciating circumstance, you couldn't help it. There was no chance for him to perform namaz, because the war is so heavy. The war was going on so heavy, so there was no chance, there was no possibility. But otherwise, even at the time of war, you need to take out time for your own self. فَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ Namaz time, you have to see to that. That's your personal relationship with Allah, you have to see to that. As Ali radiallahu anhu was asked, that he had obtained the Tasbih Fatimi from Rasulullah SAW daily, from Rasulullah SAW directly. He had received it directly from Rasulullah SAW, the Tasbih Fatimi. So someone asked him, Oh Ali radiallahu anhu, you know the day of Siffin, and so many people were beheaded, and it was such an active day. There was no chance for anything. Did you recite this Tasbih Fatimi on that day as well? I said, yes. I read it, though I postponed it to the night. I couldn't do it in the day. I postponed it in the night, but I did make sure that I completed that on that night as well. So the people say, no, you know, I can't do this because I'm in jihad, because I'm in tabligh, because I'm teaching now. I don't have time for this. And really, they don't understand. The understanding is gone off. See? So if you want to be feeding people, then you need to feed yourself. You need to teach people, then you need to teach yourself as well. Like you are taking out time to teach people, then you have to educate yourself. Otherwise, if you're not going to educate yourself, you're not going to be on hand. You're not going to be hands-on on the education. What are you going to impart? If you're not going to be hands-on on education, you're not going to learn up the kitab yourself, then what are you going to impart? You'll have to be hands-on on the kitab so that you can impart yourself. You'll have to eat so that you can feed. You'll have to do your own tazkiyah, own purification, so that you can pass on that purification to others as well. So, in the series of that purification, one process is i'tikaf. From amongst the series of self-purification, one aspect of self-purification is sitting for i'tikaf. So the i'tikaf, what's the unique feature in i'tikaf? Someone is in namaz, he is also in ibadat. Someone is in tilawat, he is also in ibadat. Someone is in roza, he is also in ibadat. Someone is in umrah or hajj, then he is in ibadat as well. So what's the unique feature in i'tikaf? It must be something different. Otherwise, if all ibadat were the same, then why don't you just read namaz? Why don't you just go make umrah? Why don't you just go make hajj? So there must be something unique for you to do i'tikaf as well. So the unique feature in i'tikaf is this special focus and special dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have occupied yourself in other ibadats, other acts of ibadat, you have occupied yourself, namaz, zakat, roza, etc. You have taken out time for that. But your own personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your personal relationship, have you dedicated your time to fix up this personal relationship, uninterrupted? There's no interruption, just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a time that you have dedicated to examine your own self, inner examination, inner x-ray of your own self is just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is no third person. Rasulullah saw the need for this even before Nubuwwat. حُبِّبَ إِلَيِّ الْخَلَوُ The first series, the first chain in the series of Nubuwwat was true dreams. Rasulullah would see a dream at night, and exactly like what he had seen, then it would pan out in the day. What he had seen at night, it would appear in the day. And thereafter, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَوُ And then, seclusion became very dear to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He liked to be secluded. So it shows that seclusion is the beginning point. You need to have that personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your relationship, your commitment, your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be very solid, very, very strong. In any situation, you will look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then you will take the step. And if you don't have that, then you'll mix up things. Look at one hadith, right? Aisha radiallahu anha had mentioned something that was not appropriate. So Rasulullah explained to her, إِنَّكِ تَكَلَّمْتِ بِكَلِمَةٍ لَوْ مُزِجَتْ بِهَا الْبَحْرُ لَمَزَجَتْهَا كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ You have mentioned such a thing. The evil of it, the filth, the pollution of what you have mentioned is so serious. The pollution of what you have mentioned is so serious that if it were added to the salt water, in spite of its acid content, this pollution would have overcome the water of the sea as well. Imagine the acid content that it has. But this word that you have uttered is so full with pollution, it's so contaminated that it will prevail, that contamination and pollution will prevail over the sea waters as well. Right. Now, you look at this hadith in isolation, right? Rasulullah ﷺ corrected her there and there on the spot. Now, just compare this hadith against our living. Right? If it's a stranger that's committed a wrong, we'll be quick to correct that person. But if it is someone dear, near to us, do we have that relationship with Allah Ta'ala that we can correct our wives, our children, and we protect them, we guard them from overstepping the mark? So you'll only be able to maintain the balance if your relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is so strong that you don't want to compromise it for anything, not for the wife, not for the children, not for one sentence, one word. Here, Aisha radiallahu anha has mentioned just one word. And that one word also is taken so seriously. So that can only happen if your personal relationship with Allah Ta'ala is so strong. that nothing can interrupt it, nothing can affect it. But if there is a whole conflict, this side feels, no, I have to respect this person's feeling and that person's feeling, and this is so dear and near to me, and how can I say her something, then you're going to be mixing up things. You're going to be mixing up things. So this i'tikaf brings you the type of seclusion, the mental seclusion. Your mind is absolutely secluded with Allah Ta'ala. There's no second thing, there's nothing that is interrupting your relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's just you and Allah Ta'ala. Sab tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. All the aspirations and the dreams that I've had, all the aspirations are gone. Now you are calling the beloved, now come my beloved, because everything that I've been aspiring for, everything is gone. Now my mind is absolutely at ease, it's totally calm. I've secluded my mind from everything else. My mind is not chasing behind anything, any person, anything. So my mind is reserved only for you. So this is that mind that is required, that you reserved your mind for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you have a parking, reserved parking. What do you mean by reserved parking? That nobody must occupy that space. That space is reserved. Nobody must occupy it. So your mind now must be preserved. It's reserved. Apart from being parked, it must be reserved. So the mind has to be parked, but it has to be reserved as well. You can't say, no, my mind is parked. No, park and reserved. No, nobody else. It's just between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just Allah ta'ala and yourself, nothing else. وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. That, this i'tikaf, if you look at it, the whole flavor of this i'tikaf and the whole nature of this i'tikaf is also supported in the Quran. وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one is a general remembrance. And now this remembrance, you have to elevate this remembrance. One is a general remembrance, one is a normal remembrance, and one is a special remembrance, so you have to elevate this. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. You have to sever your mind from every other contact, and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment now, there must be nothing else, just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every other relationship is severed. It's a very, very special moment. Special moment. You don't want anything to come and interrupt this relationship. You imagine, like how nowadays people play the prank, right? The person is just married now. So, whilst he's with his family now, they'll cell phone him. Keep selling him. Right? It's not a good habit. But what I'm saying you, what I'm trying to get here, is at that moment, what do you want? At that moment, you want no interruption. Just a very personal, special relationship. Special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want any third person at that time. You just want yourself and Allah ta'ala. You're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala is talking to you. You are talking to Him, and He is talking to you. How do you expect Allah ta'ala to talk to you when your mind is cramped up with every other thing? It's filled up, it's cramped up with every other rubbish, and then you want Allah ta'ala to talk to you. How can it happen? Yes, you have to syringe your heart. You have to flush out all the thoughts of your heart and just dedicate it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you see that Allah ta'ala is talking to you. Where they say, this person is being inspired. So this inspiration comes at that moment when you have flushed your heart out of every other thought. Every other thought, every other relationship, every other fantasy, every other aspiration, your mind is moved out. It's gone. Not that now it's iftar time, so you're thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to have kari khichdi, and let's hope there is some fry also, fry fish, and then, you know, with that, they must have that green chutney also. So now your mind has been all broken down. If someone has to open your mind, so you'll see green chutney there, you'll see fried fish, you'll see kari khichdi, and say, hey, let's hope that the kari khichdi is made right. You know, that kari mustn't be too thin. It mustn't be too thick, it must be just right. So by your mind is all crowded in other things. When it's crowded in different things, then you can't get that special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. It's either in food, good food, or some type of good clothing. So he is a good kurta. The Quran has got a good kurta there. So after the etikaf, I need to understand where he got that kurta from so that I can go and buy the same type of kurta. So now your mind is being consumed in that. Oh, this man here is doing very well in his business. So after the etikaf, now I need to do what type of investments he's doing, Oasis or whatever other business and investment he's doing, so that I can also not be left behind. He's flying around for Umrah, everything else. Why must I get left behind? So your mind must be totally away from all this. You see that special moment that you got with Allah Ta'ala, that supersedes every other ibadat. When you have trained your mind to be like that, that ibadat will supersede every other ibadat. Because that was a special moment. That was the very essence of ibadat. You had in that ibadat, that moment that you had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was the real moment. It was the actual moment. It was the real moment. Like I explained this morning, that oud, it picks up its value in accordance to its strength, what type of strength it's got. And that strength is based upon its fragrance. So the fragrance is really the very essence, the very nucleus of this fragrance. So if it's got that fragrance, that real fragrance, original, real, real, real fragrance it's got, then it'll fetch the highest value. The other oud also will fetch its value, but not like this original one. That original one is that old one, and really matured, it's really, really, really matured. Now you just open that bottle, really very fully matured ether. Right, very fully matured oud, just open that bottle and you'll see that smell will fly right through the masjid. It will float right around the masjid, right? Because that's fully matured. Do you see, that was also oud, this was also oud. He's also performing namaz and he's also performing namaz. But there's a world of a difference between his namaz and his namaz. There's a world of difference between this person's oud and that person's oud. It's a world of a difference. See, this oud you had worked upon. Now that one oud now, small little bottle, 1,000 rands. And this one here, you'll be lucky to get 20 rands for this. Nobody's prepared to pick it up for 20 rands. And this one here, you're actually bargaining, hey, I'll give you 1,000. The person says, no, I'll give you 2,000. Just give it to me. Why? There's something very, very unique in this thing here. See, it is that special fragrance that's in it. So the special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes like this. That you have separated your mind from every other thought. Sab tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gaya, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. All the aspirations, everything has gone, has left the heart. Everything has gone from the heart. Everything has left the heart. So now you are inviting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, now you should come to my heart, to my mind, because I've left everything out. My mind is not occupied in business, my mind is not occupied in my friend, is not occupied in my food, is not occupied in commitments, not any telephone, not any corresponding any to any letter, nothing, absolute nothing. My mind is absolutely clear. So this is that very spirit, that the very essence, the very ruh and the very spirit of i'tikaf. So your mind will be totally focused to that. Now for that, what's important is when you are in i'tikaf, then unnecessarily don't meet and talk. Otherwise 10 days will pass, 20 days will pass, and you will not achieve what you're supposed to be achieving. You will do other things, I don't say it will not be ibadat, but you will not achieve that very essence of i'tikaf. So here, you will tell your friends, don't get offended, we will not talk, we will not speak, we will not sit together, we will not discuss any points, that we will leave it for after Ramadan, then we will discuss, make up all the points that we need to discuss, we will discuss all that at length after Ramadan. But now these few days we have dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to bring that sifat, that quality of tabattul, of yaksu, you want to bring that, you want to develop that, strengthen that. In that also now we bring all our 5 cents and 10 cents and everything. You want to make a mix up of the whole thing. Now you got oud atar, then you're putting some rose water inside, and you're putting some mustard oil also inside. So the mustard oil also is very beneficial. So you brought that also, then you brought some water. That water makes everything alive. So you're going to make a mess up of that oud atar. So now this thing you have to just keep it in its purity, in its goodness, so you know, tell the friends, but just leave it out. Whether it's one word or two words, but just leave it out. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to mix up. Just to the point of need, we're going to sit and eat, and then you'd go your way, I'll go my way. I need to develop my relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and I need to understand, get some understanding of the hadith, وَحُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ الْخَلَى. That seclusion, that real seclusion that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had endeavored, and he had worked towards. He liked it and he worked towards it. He liked it and he worked towards it. So I want to get a flavor, a small taste of that, a little taste of that, that sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We hear of other sunnats, like I said yesterday also. I see the Talimuddin boys, all in Jamaat and all that. All the sunnah that I see in them was all the Zulfahs. Everybody's Zulfahs coming right to the shoulders. So that sunnah they learned it very, very well. Very, very well. But the other sunnah where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to go with starvation 3 months, only khajur and water. That sunnah they don't talk about, only khajur and water. Aisha speaks about that sunnah, only khajur and water. So that sunnah, I don't see them practicing that. But the sunnah that sunnah they very quickly to practice it. So you see then that deen becomes a picking and choosing thing. What is likable, then you want to take that, you become selective in your deen. You don't want to see deen in its true essence, its true essence of deen. This isolation of the mind is isolated, nothing else. Nothing else is crowding it, nothing else is jamming the mind. It's just this, nothing else but this. Allah Ta'ala grant us all.